In July, I went to LA with my family and went to visit my sister who lives there, and it was a really good holiday. Has anyone been to America here? Yes? It's pretty phenomenal, hey. It's America, I think it's like Australia on steroids. That's how I describe it to people. But in some ways, a little bit like 20 years ago. I don't know, you get that vibe from America? Yeah. I really enjoyed it. It's big, it's extravagant. It was expensive. There was lots of things to do. It was busy. We went to LA, went to Las Vegas, went to Yosemite National Park. We went to Disneyland. We went then to Hawaii. It was a really, really good time. We had a great holiday. It was fantastic. And then I thought about what has been my favorite holiday in my life? And I thought, it's not actually America. It was actually Southwest Rocks when I was growing up, which is about 4 or 5 hours up the coast. And Southwest Rocks isn't like America. We didn't fly there. We drove there. We didn't stay in hotels. We camped. We didn't eat out all the time. We just had normal food like cereal or maybe bacon and eggs in the morning. There wasn't a whole stack of things to do. It was more like the natural things like swimming or walking or hanging out or maybe playing cards if we want to get a bit rowdy one night. And so Southwest Rocks is cool. But what I realized is, it's interesting because on the surface, America looks like a more attractive holiday, doesn't it? It's big, it's flashy, there's lots of things to do. But I would choose Southwest Rocks any day of the week because I think this is what happens is that when you strip everything back, you actually start to focus on what's most important in life. And at Southwest Rocks, it was family and it was enjoying that, and I think God's creation. That stuff makes you just think about the bigger things of life, meaning and purpose and where you're heading and direction. And I thought it's very, very similar to how Christmas happens today in the Western world. That it's very flashy, it's very extravagant, there's lots of lights, there's lots of things to do, busy calendars, presents to open, people to see, food to eat, alcohol to drink, which is actually all good stuff in itself, but we tend to lose a bit of focus on what it's all about. And so tonight, I think it'd be really cool if we just strip everything back and instead of letting the world and society tell us what Christmas is all about, let's have a look and see what God thinks Christmas is all about. What do you reckon? So I'm going to read one verse from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. It's going to come up on the screen. It says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. So already there, it's a saying, what Paul is about to say is worth listening to. And not just listening, but accepting, taking on and trusting in your life, letting that shape your life. And he says this. So he says, listen up. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. We all know Christmas is about Jesus, don't we? And his birth. But I think Christmas, that Jesus coming into the world so that we can have a really cool time at Christmas. But what Paul says here is that Christ Jesus came into the world, in fact, to save sinners. That's the reason why he came. And what Paul is saying there is this, he's implying a couple of things, that there are sinners in the world, and in fact the Bible says every human that has ever lived, including all of you who I'm looking out on, who are so beautiful, including myself, including the world, not the beautiful part, the sinner part, obviously, that everyone has been born into this sinful kind of rebellious state against God, that automatically we just want to live life our own way. Can we all probably just be a bit honest tonight and accept that and say, yeah, that's been me in my life. I've wanted to do things my own way. So Paul says Christ Jesus came into the world, so he stepped down into his creation. When Jesus was born, it wasn't that he was created then. He's always existed, but he came down to this world. And he did it to save sinners. That's really key, which means that sinners need saving, right? But the question is, what from? Well, the thing about being a sinner is that we're under God's anger and judgment for that, which is not the nice part to tell you, but it makes Jesus so much more beautiful. You know, I get this picture of a teenage kid. You know the story. Teenager gets raised up in a good family, gets good opportunities, loved by their parents, invested into heavily, loved and shown kindness and grace constantly, second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, 100 chances, right? But the teenage kid still just rebels against mum and dad. Anyone else like that? I was a bit like that. There's a couple of us in our family. And the thing about that is it breaks the parent's heart, doesn't it? They don't want to see their kid walk away and rebel. They don't want to see their kid do that. And it kind of makes them a little bit frustrated and angry because they love them so much. And when we have rebelled against God and kind of lived our own way, he gets that same crushing feeling that he is so broken, or in a sense grieving, that we have walked away as well. And because of that, his anger and his judgment kind of remain on us. And the beautiful thing about this is that that's the reason why Jesus came into the world, to save sinners. That little baby that we so beautifully saw a skit from and videos, he didn't stay a baby. He grew up. And his whole life he preached this message: I came into the world to save sinners. And as he grew older, we know the story. We know the symbol of the cross, don't we? Have we all seen that one? There's a symbol of Christianity, the cross. Jesus ends up walking to the cross at the end of his life on earth, and he goes there to die in our place. The sinners, the sinless one, takes the place of the sinful ones. And see, he experiences the judgment and anger of God for us. Do we understand that? Do we understand the depth of that? I'll look out into this congregation, and there are some here that just haven't understood that and taken that on in their life. That, you see, if your sin remains on you, that means the judgment of God, the anger of God, will remain on you. But Jesus is so beautifully reaching out, saying, come to me. I went to the cross for you. I did that. I came into the world to save sinners. Can you see, if we get the wrong view of what Christmas is all about, we actually limit our lives. We limit our eternities. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I think it means this for two groups of people. Number one, the Christians here, we let the world kind of influence the way we do Christmas, don't we? But if that was really the central, the core of our Christmas, it would look so different. You'd invite more people to services. You'd engage with them a little bit more. You'd love them a little bit more. And so I think it'd be really cool to think, what can we do this Christmas and the ones after that is different, that lets this message shape how we do Christmas a little bit more? That's a challenge for the Christians. But for the non-Christians, those who aren't trusting in following in Jesus, my heart is very heavy for you at the moment. Because we're talking about forever. 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 And if you don't listen to Paul, he says this message is trustworthy and worthy of full acceptance, and actually accept that message, then your eternity will look like being alone under God's anger and not with Jesus forever for all of eternity. And so right now, I'm going to pray that you would actually come and take the hand of Christ Jesus, who has been pursuing you and who is pursuing. I believe he's going to save some people tonight. And so I'm going to pray right now. And if you're a Christian, why don't you pray with me for these people who are here? And if you're not a Christian, you'd like to accept Christ, just do that in your own heart as I pray. Let's pray now. Father in heaven, now God, there are some here who are without Christ, some here who haven't trusted in him. Their sin remains on them. And God, as my heart breaks, your heart breaks even more. So Father, would your Holy Spirit please turn them to you, open their eyes, that they would see how beautiful, how wonderful Jesus is, the one who came into the world to save them. And so God, I pray right now that they would actually make that step of faith in their hearts, in their minds, and with their lives, that they would begin the journey with Christ right now. That 2018 would be the year, that this Christmas would be the Christmas, that this night would be the night that they become saved and a part of this family. And we pray all of this in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen.